Thank you, Uncle Glenn. And thank all of you for coming out. I welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do appreciate you being here. This evening, we're going to talk about something that myself personally, I don't like to do very often, but I need to. It's something that we all should be doing on a regular basis, because when you do it, it actually helps you. And that is, we need to examine ourselves. The word that's used in the scriptures, examine, it means to try or prove. We are to test ourselves against what's written in the scriptures. Is that better? Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Do you need me to start over? No. Okay. We are supposed to examine ourselves continually to see how we measure up to what God expects from us, what he demands from us. If you will please turn in your Bibles to the 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. This is where we will start. It's going to be in the 2 Corinthians. I'm in the wrong Corinthians. 13th chapter, 5th verse. It says, "Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." And it means unless you don't stand the test. Jesus Christ is in us unless we don't stand the test. It's an examination. You're taking a test. Okay? And we are supposed to be ready for that test at all times. So have you ever taken a look at yourself? Away from here. During the week, have you ever thought about what you're doing, how you're acting, how you're treating people, things that are going through your mind? If you have, did you like what you saw? Well, if you did like what you saw, congratulations. If you didn't, I'm sorry. There is some help available if you didn't like what you saw. Okay? You are fighting not against yourself. You're fighting against an enemy that we all have. The enemy is Satan. Let's turn to Mosiah, the first chapter. First chapter, and it is verse 119. It says, this is on page 218, Book of Mosiah, chapter 1, verse 119. "For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever." And he was, because of what Satan got Adam to do. It was a natural reaction for Adam. And we are supposed to overcome that natural desire and start desiring the things of God. We're supposed to fight against the enemy. Okay? Now, you got to think of who Adam was going up against. Okay? This is Satan. Satan was the highest angel in heaven. He was the most beautiful angel in heaven. He was one of the cherubims in the Garden of Eden. You can read about that in the book of Ezekiel. And he was there. He was in heaven with God in the beginning. What kind of being would take that opportunity and throw it all away? I mean, if I was in heaven, I would think that I would never, ever give it up. I would never turn my back on it. I would never leave. That's what I think of, you know, personally, how I would be. So what kind of being would do that, would throw it all away? I asked in the teenage class downstairs a couple weeks ago what kind of being they thought would do that. And they said, well, you'd have to be a complete idiot to toss that all away. And I have to agree with them. You know, it says that Satan was the most cunning. You know, he came to Eve in the form of a serpent because it was the most cunning. And yeah, Satan is very, very cunning. He's very sneaky. He's very sly. He's pretty slick at what he does. And he does get us to commit sin. But still, he's got to be a complete idiot. I'm sorry. He tossed it all away. And when I find myself committing sin, and I realize what I'm doing, and I stop, I realize that I am listening to a complete idiot. So what does that make me? Okay? Yeah. Not very bright. Well, it also makes me an enemy to God. And Satan himself is God's enemy. Let's turn to the second book of Nephi, the third chapter. And it's on page 93. It's verse 42. And Nephi he's bearing his soul to us. He says, oh, then, if I have seen so great things, if the Lord in his condescension unto the children of men hath visited me in so much mercy, why should my heart weep, and my soul linger in the valley of sorrow, and my flesh waste away, and my strength slacken because of mine afflictions? And why should I yield to sin because of my flesh? I understand him. Yea, why should I give way to temptations that the evil one have placed in my heart to destroy my peace and afflict my soul? Why? Why am I allowing this? Why am I angry because of mine enemy? Awake, my soul. No longer droop in sin. Rejoice, O my heart, and give place no more for the enemy of my soul. Do not anger again because of mine enemies. Do not slacken my strength because of mine afflictions. Rejoice, O my heart, and cry unto the Lord, and say, O Lord, I will praise thee forever. Yea, my soul will rejoice in thee, my God and the rock of my salvation. O Lord, wilt thou redeem my soul? Wilt thou deliver me out of the hands of mine enemies? Wilt thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? May the gates of hell be shut continually before me, because that my heart is broken and my spirit is contrite. O Lord, wilt thou not shut the gates of thy righteousness before me, that I may walk in the path of the low valley, that I may be strict in the plain road? O Lord, wilt thou encircle me in the robe of thy righteousness? O Lord, wilt thou make a way for mine escape before mine enemies? Wilt thou make my path straight before me? Wilt thou not place a stumbling block in my way, but that thou wouldst clear my way before me and hedge not up my way, but the ways of mine enemy? O Lord, I have trusted in thee, and I will trust in thee forever. I will not put my trust in the arm of flesh, for I know that cursed is he that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. Yea, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm. Yea, I know that God will give liberally to him that asketh. Yea, my God will give me, if I ask not amiss. Therefore I will lift up my voice unto thee. Yea, I will cry unto thee, my God, the rock of my righteousness. Behold, my voice shall forever ascend up unto thee, my rock and mine everlasting God. Amen. He's right. Nephi is right. God will answer our prayers if we ask not amiss. Every single time. And when we find ourselves fighting on the side of the enemy to God, when we find ourselves lost in the darkness of the world, if we will just cry out to him and ask him to clear the path, to shine his light so that we may find our way to defeat the enemy that has got his clutches on us. If we will but ask. Turn to Mosiah, the 8th chapter. It's page 121. Mosiah chapter 8. Page 255. Says, but remember that he that persists in his own carnal nature and goes on in the ways of sin and rebellion against God, he remaineth in his fallen state, and the devil hath all power over him. Therefore, he is as though there was no redemption made, being an enemy to God, and also is the devil an enemy to God. So yeah, we're enemies if we're on Satan's side, and the devil is God's enemy. I mean, it says it right here. If we're following Satan in sin and rebellion, then we're in trouble. So how do we get out of it? You know, there what Nephi was telling us, the prayers that he was saying, the fact that God will answer those type of prayers, he'll do it every time. All we got to do is remember to ask. Okay? But sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get so caught up in the world that it envelopes us in the darkness and we're lost in the mist and we don't realize that it's so close to us, the answer. It's very close. Let's go to Ether, the 5th chapter. We're going to talk about being an idiot, okay? How we kind of end up doing really dumb things in our lives. This is Ether, the 5th chapter. It's starting at verse 26. It's on page 748. And listen to what they're saying, but I want you to pay attention to what God tells this individual. Verse 26, it says, "Thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weakness and stumble because of the placing of our words. And I fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words." He's afraid that because of their inability to write well, that we're going to make fun of them. And it's not a very nice thing to do. I would consider it a sin to make fun of somebody because of their writing skills. I would consider it a sin to make fun of anybody that can't write as well as you or can't do anything as well as you. And so he's talking to God about this, and he says in verse 27, "And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will shew unto them their weakness." Let's turn to Proverbs. We're going to keep talking about being ignorant. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, has got a lot of instruction in it about how not to be a fool or why you shouldn't be a fool. Proverbs chapter 14, second verse, says, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them." Go down to verse 9. It says, "Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is a favor." 16. "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." 24. "The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly." 29. "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." Chapter 15, starting at the first verse. "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pour out foolishness." 5. "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." 9. "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness." Did Satan listen to the Father? No. No, he did not. There in 5 it says, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction." And yeah, Satan despised God's instruction. He thought he was smarter than God. He thought he was better than God. So was he a fool? Yeah. According to this definition that I read there in the book of Ether, he mocked. He thought he was better. He thought he was wiser. He lied. He did all kinds of things against God. Yeah, he was a fool. And when you follow him, when you commit sin, you're following a fool. I know that we're not dumb. I know that we are not fools. I know we know the truth. And I know that we desire to keep God's commandments in all things. And when I find myself committing sin and following this Satan, I get irritated with myself. I'm following a fool. I know it says that you're not supposed to call your brother a fool. Okay? But this is not my brother. This is the enemy of God that I'm talking about. And God says he is being a fool. So I don't feel like I'm committing a sin when I say this about Satan. He knows how to push my buttons very well. I imagine he knows how to push your buttons very well to get you mad about things. There's things going on. There's things going on in the world that just, they irritate me. There's things that I see in the news that just, why are they doing that? There's things that I see on Facebook that, discussions that are going on Facebook that I have to not take part in because it irritates me about the sin that's being committed. So I have to stay away from those things. Otherwise, my anger will come bubbling to the surface and then I'll be committing sin. So I have to be very careful with all of that stuff. Because I do not want to be on the side of the enemy. So how do we escape? How do we escape the clutches of the fool? Let's turn to page 21 of the Book of Mormon. You know, the fool, the enemy to God, he tries his best to get us off the path, to make us get lost in the world and in the mists of darkness. And it's right here on page 21, and this is Lehi's vision. I'm going to start at verse 62. It says, "And I beheld a rod of iron, and it extended along the bank of the river and led to the tree by which I stood. And I also beheld a straight and narrow path, which came along by the rod of iron, even to the tree by which I stood. And also led by the head of the fountain unto a large and spacious field, as if it had been a world. And I saw numberless concourses of people, many of whom were pressing forward, that they might obtain the path which led unto the tree by which I stood. And it came to pass that they did come forth, and commenced in the path which led to the tree. And it came to pass that there arose a mist of darkness, yea, even an exceeding great mist of darkness, insomuch that they which had commenced in the path did lose their way, that they wandered off and were lost." How many times in your life have you felt like you have wandered away from God? How many times in your life do you feel like you all of a sudden you realize, I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to be doing for the past several weeks, several months. Sometimes people say several years. Think back to the brother of Jared who didn't talk to God for the space of quite some time. After he saw God, he saw his flesh and blood body, and God did some things for him. Think about the brother of Jared that had done that, had wandered off, got carried away because everything was going great. Didn't really need to call on God because everything was fine. No problems, no worries. And then one day God said, "All right, he's not going to wake up unless I tap him on the head like my dad used to do to me. A couple of thunks with a knuckle." And he talked to him for, I think it was 3 days, there on the beach, chewed him out. I hope that never happens to me, and I hope it never happens to you. But I have caught myself at times wandering away from God, being sucked in by Satan to commit sin and forget what I'm supposed to be doing. But there is a way to fight all of this. And it's right there. It's right there in the vision. Turn to the book of Helaman. Second chapter is page 551. I'm going to start at the 25th verse. This is how you do it. It says, "Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will in the sincerity of their hearts call upon his holy name. Yea, thus we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across that everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out." Grab hold onto the rod of iron. You know, we have it with us at all times, the answer to the temptations that Satan throws at us. And how often do you ignore it? It's right here. This is the rod of iron. How often is your hand on it? How often is my hand on it? Not enough, I'm afraid, for myself. I need to be more diligent in hanging on to this. If I would hold on to it tight and never let go, never be distracted by, "Oh, look, isn't that a shiny, pretty thing over there?" And, "Oh, I gotta let go," and off I go into the world. Like a dog seeing a squirrel. "Oh, squirrel." If I would just hold on to this and never let go, I will make it. I'll make it through all of this garbage of the world. It is that simple. You know, just ask God to forgive you and grab hold with all your might. He tells us over and over again that we're supposed to do these things, that we are supposed to stay in constant touch with him, that we are supposed to pray at all times. Turn to page 163 of the Book of Mormon. Over and over and over again, he's telling us, "Talk to me. Talk to me." It says, starting at the fourth, I'm going to start it at the fourth verse. Page 163, this is the 14th chapter of the second book of Nephi. It says, "Wherefore I said unto you, feast upon the words of Christ, for behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things what ye should do. Wherefore, now after that I have spoken these words, if ye cannot understand them, it will be because ye ask not, neither do ye knock. Wherefore ye are not brought into the light, but must perish in the dark. For behold, again I say unto you, that if ye will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost," in other words, if you are willing to repent of your sins and be baptized, go down into the water, be baptized, put under, immersed by a person who's been called to do that, and then have the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, if you will do that, says, "it will shew unto you all things what you should do." The Holy Ghost will tell you what you should do. And the Holy Ghost is telling me, "Sean, this is what you need to do. Fight against the enemy. Hang on to the rod of iron. Use it as your anchor. Keep in constant contact with God. Behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and there will be no more doctrine given until after that he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh. And when he shall manifest himself unto you in the flesh, the things which he shall say unto you, ye shall observe to do. And now I, Nephi, cannot say more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterance, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness, and here I am, the ignorance, and the stiff-neckedness of men. For they will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge when it is given to them in plainness, even as plain as word can be. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that ye still ponder in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. How many times have you gone through a day forgetting to pray? Because you've been distracted by work, catastrophes at home, catastrophes on the road, things that get in the way, catastrophes on the news, and you forget, oh my, all this stuff's going on, and you get wrapped up in it, and you forget to pray. Satan is trying to get you to not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. When the girls were young, and we would go to town for groceries and stuff, if we would get something to eat, we'd tell them, okay, now, bow your heads, hold our hands. We're going to say prayer. And they say, oh, Dad, really here in front of everybody, all these strangers? Yes, we're going to say prayer right here in front of everybody. And after a while, they got used to it. And now they pray. They pray over their meals. They pray over their families. They pray over their jobs. They pray over everything. My wife taught my daughters, when you get in the car, before you move the car, you pray. And so they pray. Today at my mother-in-law's house, Guinevere was playing and everything, and then it was time to eat, and they had prayer, and everybody started eating, and then Guinevere came, and she sat down at the table, and she goes, we didn't say prayer. And we said, yeah, we did say prayer. Oh, I didn't say prayer. So, well, it's okay, you can say prayer, but we've all said prayer, so go ahead. So, yeah, even she knows to pray. It's necessary, and it's for everything that you do. Anything that you do, you should be doing it for the glory of God, to edify him, to edify other people, to lift up other people. Do it with that in mind. When you go to work, you should be working to make the person you're working for think of Jesus Christ, to make him want to be a good person, or her want to be a good person, or your fellow co-workers. You should do your job in front of them like they were Jesus Christ, so that they would want to do a good job. And then people start trying to be better in all things. There was a man that he's one of the guys that I think, man, this guy was smart. This guy had wisdom. This guy, he did good. No matter what was thrown at him, he kept doing what he was supposed to do. And his name is Joshua. And it came down to the point to where Joshua was no longer going to be behind Moses. He was no longer going to be making sure everything was done the way it was supposed to be done and encouraging all the people to do what God told Moses to do. No, it came a point in Joshua's life where he was put in front. And he wasn't sure that he was going to be able to do it. It was a lot of responsibility. And so he was scared. And I can understand him being scared. But there in the first chapter of Joshua, God's talking to him. And in the seventh verse, he tells Joshua, he says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left." Don't wander off the path. Don't let go. Hang on to the law. Do what he said. "That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Just do it. I've been listening to the sermons from the past month, and they have been pointing out what to do, how to do it, why to do it. I mean, this morning, Uncle Glenn was talking about service, being a servant, all of us, not just the ministers, but every single one of us being a servant, and how you can be a servant. And why you should be a servant. You know, Dan was telling us, well, these are the things that you need in your life. You know, there was four things that was listed by that psychologist. Well, there's things that he left out that Dan told us. You know, you need God. You need prayer. You go back and you listen to these sermons, all of them, they were all pointing to this, to fight this fight, to do what needs to be done in order to make it to the end. We've been told over and over and over again how to do this. Turn to page 218 of the Book of Mormon. Again, we're going to be in the Book of Mosiah. And I'm going to start at the 120th verse. Because we've already read the 119th. But in the 120th verse it says, "But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man," or the enemy, "and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love." All these words are the definition of charity. "Willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father." He said, do these things. Meet together oft, as often as possible. When the preacher leaves his work to go and preach, the people left their work to go and listen. Okay? He says we're supposed to pray for each other. We're supposed to ask God to protect each other and to lift up our souls and to heal us. We're supposed to encourage each other to do good, not point the finger at somebody and say, "Oh, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. What kind of Christian are you supposed..." You know, all of those things that you hear people when you're telling them this is what you believe in, and they say, "Well, that's just ridiculous." That's not lifting somebody up. That's tearing somebody down. We are supposed to do what he said. And moreover, I say unto you that the time shall come when the knowledge of a Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless before God, except it be little children, only through repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent. I don't know how you really pronounce it. And even at this time, when thou shalt have taught thy people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken unto thee. We have to become as a child, because it says only the little children are going to make it. Submissive, meek, humble, willing to do all the things that God said to do. And that includes all of it, not just the prayers and not just coming and meeting together and praying for each other and encouraging each other, but it's all the other stuff that the world says, oh, you don't have to do that, really. You don't have to pay tithing. You don't have to read your scriptures every day. You can go to the movies and watch all this garbage that's out there, and as long as you don't partake of it, then you're okay. No. You have to do everything he said to do. There's no way around it. If you don't, then you're listening to the fool. And you're not going to make it. We just read that. You will not make it. I want to turn to page 479. And this guy here, I put him right there with Joshua. And all of the others, this is the kind of person that I want all of us to be, and we can be. We can do this. We can be just like this man, because he wasn't the only one. Okay, it's page 479 of the Book of Alma, Book of Mormon. It's Book of Alma, chapter 21. I'm going to start at verse 132. It says, "And Moroni was a strong and mighty man. He was a man of a perfect understanding, yea, a man that did not delight in bloodshed, a man whose soul did joy in the liberty and freedom of his country and his brethren from bondage and slavery, yea, a man whose heart did swell with thanksgiving to his God for the many privileges and blessings which he bestowed upon his people, a man who did labor exceedingly for the welfare and safety of his people. Yea, and he was a man who was firm in the faith of Christ, and he had sworn with an oath to defend his people, his rights, and his country, and his religion, even to the loss of his blood. Now the Nephites were taught to defend themselves against their enemies, even to the shedding of blood, if it were necessary. Yea, and they were also taught never to give an offense. Yea, and never to raise the sword, except it were against an enemy, except it were to preserve their lives. And this was their faith, that by so doing, God would prosper them in the land, or in other words, if they were faithful in keeping the commandments of God, that he would prosper them in the land, yea, warn them to flee or to prepare for war according to their danger, and also that God would make it known unto them whither they should go to defend themselves against their enemies. And by so doing, the Lord would deliver them. And this was the faith of Moroni. And his heart did glory in it, not in the shedding of blood, but in doing good, in preserving his people, yea, in keeping the commandments of God, yea, and resisting iniquity." He gloried in it. It brought joy to his soul. When you read that in the Bible and you look at, he gloried in it. It brought glory to soul. When you read it and you look up the definition, it means It brings joy to your soul. It makes your heart swell with gladness. Doing these things, keeping God's commandment, staying strong in the faith, holding on to the word. Don't let go. And you'll glory in it. You'll have joy in your soul. And if you do it like Moroni did, it says in verse 140, yea, verily, verily, I say unto you, if all men had been and were and ever would be like unto Moroni, behold, the very powers of hell would have been shaken forever. Yea, the devil would never have power over the hearts of the children of men. If we will just do it, if we will just be Christians, just be Christians. Don't be servants of the enemy, but be Christian in all things. We will shake the very foundations of hell together. It can be done. We just have to keep reminding each other, do not listen to the foolish things of the world. Do not listen to that great and awful fool. Listen to Christ. Do what he has asked us all to do. Thank you.